You're listening to FCUM Radio, radio for FC United of Manchester. And now, this club is my club.
FCUM Radio. FC Music United.
I think it was Scott Fitzgerald who said, American lives don't have second acts. Well, this is Manchester. We do things differently here.
Towards the goal! Oh,
it's the United's Paul Armstrong.
First time shot comes in.
Jay Cottrell with a screamer! I don't believe it! An absolute rocket from Cottrell!
In This Club Is My Club this week, we have all the reaction and interviews from FC United's weekend encounter with Boston United.
Hi, this is Ray Stubbs. You're listening to FCUM Radio.
Hello, I'm your host, Cockers, and welcome to This Club Is My Club, right here on your very own FCUM Radio. Coming up, we'll be hearing how FC got on in their Saturday afternoon match at Boston United. But before that, it's now time for this week's club news. And FC United this past week have announced the appointment of Damian Chadwick as the club's new Chief Executive Officer. Damian is a founder member of FC United and is currently the venue controller at the Macron Stadium, the home of Bolton Wanderers. He will take up his post on the 7th of November following an agreed notice period at Bolton. To matters on the pitch now, and because goalkeeper Dave Carnell's back injury is proving a bit more troublesome than first thought, the club this week have signed Jonathan Masangu from Rochdale on an initial 1 month loan. Whilst elsewhere in the club, the FC United reserves got their first point of the season on Saturday, drawing 3-3 with Stockport County at Broadhurst Park. And finally, the London branch of FC United will be holding their first meeting of the new season this week on Thursday, September the 8th at the Three Kings in Clerkenwell. The meeting starts at 7 p.m. All are welcome to come along and don't be afraid to order a shandy from the bar. To the weekend's football now, and on Saturday afternoon, FC United travelled to Lincolnshire to take on Boston United at their York Street ground. Very shortly we'll be hearing how FC got on in this one, but before kick-off, here's some pre-match thoughts from Ben and Woodzo.
Welcome everyone to York Street, the home of Boston United, but not for much longer as they're moving to a new stadium somewhere near a roundabout.
Basically. That could be anywhere in this neck of the woods.
So we're joined by Stephen Wood here.
Hello.
And the last time we spoke, Steve, was before the Darlington match.
Was last week.
And so-so, first half was, as predicted, a bit underwhelming. However, the second half,
did all right.
Reasons to be cheerful.
Part three.
One, two, just two.
Two and a half. yeah, very good there, Ian. It improved when he made the changes. I think one player we have missed the last few weeks, and he's not a flyer player, but we saw his worth. I thought it was Harry Winter when he came on. And
yes.
The press needles and the work rate upped a hell of a lot, and that made a big difference. And you know, at the end of the game, we'd lost by a unluckily deflected goal just after we'd almost gone 3-2 ourselves. One kicks off the line, so yeah, there was reasons for optimism, I suppose.
I mean, we said before we came on air last week, Darlington, they're a team with aspirations to be not even one league higher, maybe two leagues higher.
Yeah.
And it was always going to be a difficult afternoon. And the way they started, they were straight out the blocks, weren't they? And, you know, you've got the likes of Liam Hardy and Stephen Thompson and Beck. And they're good players. And, you know, it took us a while to get into it. But then you've got that cracking goal from Gilchrist. And was that an advert for playing two up front?
Possibly. Possibly.
It's an old adage.
Yeah, possibly. I mean, by the way, you mentioned Beck there. He did quite well, because he was playing with two turntables and a microphone as well. But I had to get that one in.
And he had a good haircut, didn't he?
He wasn't a loser, though.
No.
Hey. Two up front, yes, it probably is. But I suppose the traditional way of playing two players up front is, I suppose, two strikers, two goal scorers.
Yeah.
You don't necessarily need that, and we haven't got that. We've got two forwards who are very similar in Johnson and Greaves, in that Johnson certainly tries to play with his back to goal in a huge style holding ball, which he does generally pretty damn well, I think. Greaves likes to play off the shoulder, but the problem there is he's not got a massive amount of pace to burst past players. They're probably too similar to play together. So then we have got the likes of Glynn, to play off him potentially, Thompson to play off him potentially, Gilchrist. When you look at it actually from the sidelines and when you watch the match, it's very often when we do break, and the problem we've got is there's not piles of pace, but when we do break, it's sort of a three up. It can be like Thompson on one side, Greaves, Stroke, Johnson in the middle, and then Glynn, Gilchrist, whoever on the other, or Wolfenden if he's playing. So there is very much a three forwards. But the problem is, and this is where people are getting the one up front from, and I fully understand that and I get it, and it frustrates me, is very often we've got the ball near our box. Mm-hmm. It is one target man up front. Absolutely right.
Their first goal came from a break. Thompson got the ball on the right-hand side, crossed it in. It went behind the one striker we had in the box.
It did, and then broke, and they launched it
later,
forward. Yeah,
it's in the back of our net.
But again, it was weak defending. With a very, very poor head to try
that
and...
That ball's come a long way. And actually, that last pass that came over from Thompson to Harder, it was so pinpoint.
Oh, it was a great ball. It was a great ball, but you're expecting to be cut out, to be fair.
Now, today we've got a team with a substitute goalkeeper. The substitute goalkeeper we had last week was a bit nervy, Ashley Frith. We've seen debuts like that from young players, especially United, with Vachubka a few years ago when we came on in front of the Stretford end and Dufty's first goal kick. Unlike Nick Culkin, who came on at Highbury, of course, and nailed it straight down the middle. But anyway, I digress. We've got a new goalkeeper today, who's Sangu. And actually, he's from Rochdale and he played us in the friendly over the summer. He's good on the ball, isn't he? And he struck me at the time, if I've got the right goalkeeper in my mind, as someone who actually preferred to be an outfield player, if I'm being honest.
He may have been good. I was in Cornwall. So I don't know. A lot of work with him. He's a Rochdale fan. He's making his debut on Rochdale Radio or whatever they do today. Or Oxford or whatever. I don't know.
But just to say...
Anyway, I spoke to him about him. Exactly what you said about you. He's a sweeper. I've just spoke to Culkin about him, and yeah, he likes to come out. That might actually work in our favour.
And just to add as well, is that I think it's the right move, because we did this a while ago when we got the Berry young lad in, when we had an injury crisis for our goalkeepers. Grundy.
We've done it with Vilchinski.
Yeah, and it's the right thing to do, I think.
I agree.
This is a decent level of football, and you can't expect an 18-year-old goalkeeper just to drop in, and a teenage goalkeeper to drop in and be fine.
Unlike the 18-year-old one that we're talking about now.
No, but he trains full time.
He does train full time. You're absolutely right. No, absolutely, you're right. I'm just being facetious, then.
So today, Boston United. We said on Red Rebel Radio this week that actually this game, Harrogate and Fylde are very important matches.
Almost.
Pivotal, I'm going to suggest, because this is we're entering a stage now where I think the fan base needs a bit of a lift and we need a performance. And this has always been a tricky place to come to. Harrogate last season, my goodness, that was a fun place to go to, and obviously filed. So it's tricky. This is.
I mean, we've won once here with that late Kyle Wilson goal that time. I think we've lost every other time we've played here. If you're looking for a run of games to get you back into up the league and build on, it's not probably what you would choose. Having said that, I suppose the converse to that is if we manage to get a couple of wins and a defeat, or
what's a good set of points in the next three games? Because conceivably, it could be none.
A win and a draw out of the next three.
Is that conceivable? I mean, that's amazing.
Potential win today, potentially, and then I think we could get a draw at home next week to Fylde. Potentially, but then you know what? We could win all three. We could get spanked in all three. That's where we are. I mean, filed at home last year. We should have won that game, in my view. The thing is, you're absolutely right asking the question, and it's a good question. And yeah, if we can get a draw and a win,
do you feel that these next three games are pivotal for the direction of the club this season?
They probably are. But the point I was going to make is they're not the games you want.
No.
But having said that, imagine if we could get a couple of wins, then actually, you know what, a little bit of the gloom may lift slightly. My gripe about it at the moment is it's just, and I've told the manager this, so I'm not saying anything on the radio that I've not said to him.
Don't say the word tedious. We said the word tedious too many times.
Well, I was going to say plodding and pedestrian. It's just plodding football. It's predictable. We know how we're going to play, and that's my worry looking at the team for today. I know you've not, I'm looking at the team sheet now and I'm thinking, I know how we're going to line up here.
Well, it's four five one, isn't it?
Well, it could be described as 4-3-3, depending on how you want to do it. But yes, yeah, you're right. But that's my worry. Is it looks like we're setting up not to lose the game, and I think when we play like that, that's not our way of doing it, and we come unstuck. I'd rather, you know what? We said it last week, didn't we? I'd rather us, you know, come here today, lose 3-0. But you know what? Give it play well and have an absolute go at it, and it'd be a rip-roaring game of football. Do I keep rolling my R's like that? You know, maybe not 3-0, but you know what the point I'm making?
Yeah, yeah.
Let's get some fun back into the football. Let's get some entertainment back. Let's get something that we can go away and say, you know what? We did all right today. We were unlucky. We could have got something out of that. Instead of just Bracky last week, you know, we had 2 minutes after half-time.
After Darlington,
that was it.
After Darlington second half, we've got to draw a line under Brackley, and
this is the way we're
going to perform. The problem is, though, as I asked Marge last week, we've never had a problem playing Darlington or Stockport or the likes of those teams.
You know, played Darlington, but I know what
you mean. Yeah,
yeah. I know the point you're making, yeah.
We've never had a problem raising our game for those teams.
Correct.
Here, though, we've always had a bloody problem, always, apart from one time we got a last-minute goal from Carl Wilson, but that's it. It's always been a tricky place. The one thing we had last year from Boston was well-drilled set pieces. And I know that's a sore subject at the moment, but they were. And they were so obvious, some of the stuff, and we just weren't prepared for them at all.
Well, they had the Pier Gianni, who was... I mean, he played here, and to be honest with you, he could have played in slippers. He was outstanding at the back. You know, on the times when we were coming forward, and there wasn't many occasions, I'll be honest, he stopped us, probably on his own. And then every single time they got a corner, and he was up there, he was a danger. I think he scored once, maybe twice, Paul. Did he score once? He certainly scored one, and I think he hit the bar. I think he didn't score two, but he hit the bar. He was a danger every time. You're right. They haven't got him this year, but then again, what else have they got? I mean, struggling with set pieces at times. But he's not just in defence. In attack, we get a corner. It's a running joke now. We're not going to score off this. We may as well not bother.
That did crop up in the Q&A. I mean, the thing is that Marge's philosopher, I don't mean to put him in the same bracket as Van Halle,
but old Louis.
Why have players standing around drilling for set pieces? But set pieces are an important part of the game, especially in non-league where mistakes can happen.
They are.
In the box.
How many times have we said, I mean, I've been on commentary with you, or potentially, I think we said it actually before the Darlington game last week, because they were a bunch of big lads, tall lads, that they look like a team who were going to play four set pieces. You're absolutely right. There are teams who set up to get free kicks around the box and work on corners and long throws. I don't go to training very often. I mean, the only time I'm ever down at training is if I'm at the ground for anything particular, because watching non-league footballers train, it's interesting. I know people were there watching on Thursday, but yeah, let's be honest, there's an open invite. People can go to it. They're not closed. They're on the 3G. Tuesdays and Thursdays, people can go, you know. And I would suggest, you know, if some joking aside what I just said there, I would encourage people to go and watch.
If some 13-year-old kid can come past on a quad bike, I'm pretty sure you can go around there with your... with your little flask and a blanket,
you're
to sit down there.
Possibly right. But, you know, I mean, yes. Do I see merit in what you're saying? I don't know. Possibly. But then by the same token,
if this
it's
game,
non-league football. If other teams are working, you know, their players are working, then
team today do the same thing as last season, then we need to change that aspect, certainly, I think. Because this game was the most blatant one last year, where they were drilled in throw-ins they had last season. They caused us so much hassle, and it was little basic stuff which was so effective.
But then that goes into the professional. I mean, look at England against Iceland. You don't have to be a footballer next, which we've seen Iceland play this long throw and then a goal against England, and it's because England didn't even bother to defend a long throw. It does happen, you know. It happens
at the
top level of football. But I'm not using that as an excuse or a reason. It's there. That's a fact. You're absolutely right. They did set up like that last year. The next three games, like you said, today and the next two matches, they're not the easiest of games. You know, Harrogate and Fylde, would you back against us winning the games? If you were putting money on being prudent, of course you would. But actually, you know what? Looking at the history of last season and whatever, they're the games we've actually done better in. We've not filed away last year, but you know what I'm saying? Against the top, the higher teams,
yes,
they're the ones where we actually did better last year. So...
well,
it's interesting times, Benjamin.
Steve, I'm going to have to draw a line on this draw interview because we're going on air in a second, and I need a week.
20-3, I didn't realise.
I know. So you, thank you for joining us, Steve. We'll be speaking to you...
I'll get my line in a minute.
Yeah. We'll be speaking to you at Broadhurst Park next Saturday.
You might be.
But from all the listeners on This Club Is Man Club, thank you for joining us.
Always a pleasure, never a chore.
To the football itself now, and with FC United looking to build upon a good second half display against Darlow and claim their second win of the season, it's now time to hand over to Marv Willers for a Boston match report. Marv.
Thank you, Cockers. Two goals from Tom Greaves and one from Jason Gilchrist were enough to secure all 3 points away to Boston on Saturday afternoon. The first half finished 2-2 following equalisers from Liam Agnew and Jay Rollins. But Gilchrist's second half strike in front of 1,424 supporters meant the trip home for United would be a happy one. Here's the goals.
Ball cleared forward and Chandler gets to that ball now. To Scott Kay, plays the ball to Sheridan, plays it first time to Wolfenden. Wolfenden on the edge of the box, shoots, and it gets to Greaves, and Greaves scores. 23 minutes gone here, and that was simple. One touch football all the way, gets to Greaves on the back post, and it's a tap in.
We've got to credit Wolfie for the run into the box, and I'm not sure whether Wolfie was going for a shot or playing it across the box, but it dropped perfectly for Greaves at the far post, who tucked it in very neatly and unchallenged, it has to be said. So 24 minutes on the clock and FC are ahead 1-0 at York Street. This is only the second time I think we've ever led here.
The first time, we had 1 minute, didn't we?
No, it's the third time, I think, because Jerome Wright scored once in the 4-1 battle.
Oh, right, OK. But
it's a rare lead for us at York Street.
24 minutes gone here at York Street and FC United 1-0 up, and it can't say it enough, the build-up play, it was four passes to get to there, it was great. It's now back with Tong, who plays the ball forward. And headed down by Winter there. And Kay now. Kay on the ball. Plays it out left to Chandler. Chandler controls it. He's got loads of time to pick his spot. Crosses it to the back post where Greaves is. He gets to the ball. And Winter header and scores.
Well,
the goalkeeper went total walkabout there to try and get that ball. He was never going to get it. And Greaves stood up and headed it into an open goal.
We've had calamities from the goalies at both ends now. This time it was Curtis Henry that came out. Flapped it across and Greaves was basically stood behind him, was able to just nod it into the open goal. So a dramatic first 33 minutes.
So 33 minutes gone here at York Street. Boston 1, FC United 2. Thompson gets the second ball, plays it to Sheridan, headed back to Thompson. Thompson shoots first time and that's going to go harmlessly to Henry in the Boston goal, who distributes it quickly over the top. Well held there by Just. Plays over the top for Rollins. Rollins times his run perfectly. He's onside. He's one-on-one with the goalkeeper. The angle's tight, but shoots and scores and slots it into the top corner. And a very, very good goal that from Boston. And in particular, Jay Rollins.
But where was the... I mean, we played an offside there we didn't get. And he was allowed to run unchallenged into the box. But the offside... I mean, they looked for an offside and didn't get it. And that's a breakdown in communication at the back. And it means that we've lost our advantage because of a moment of... indecision.
Every time FC United have scored, we've always said the same thing. That's great, but they look like they've got a few tricks in their armoury, which our defence at the moment are struggling to deal with.
Yeah.
So, cleared by Henry. And it's now on the halfway line. Thompson going to get to it. Does well. Plays it to Sheridan. Sheridan chips the ball over the top for Greaves to run onto. Good first touch from Greaves.
Gets
to
Gilchrist.
And it's 3-2 to FC United. Oh, and a cracking build-up play between Sheridan and Thompson over the top. And what control from Greaves. But he was even going to he controlled it straight past Henry, who had to come out. It breaks to Gilchrist. Open net. Goal. Paul.
Boston parted like the Red Sea there. The ball over the top. The goalkeeper flew out. Got nowhere near it. All it needed was a touch. And Greaves, whether it was deliberate or accidental, I don't know. But his touch nudged it wide. And Gilchrist was the running partner alongside to tap it in the open goal. FC 3-2 up at York Street. Remarkable game of amazing mistakes. Biblical proportions.
And that sums up the game in full. Thank you, Paul.
Thanks, Marv. Here are the FC Live team concluding their coverage of Saturday's game.
And that, dear listener, is full time and a very, 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 very welcomed 3 points for FC. Finished 3-2 here. At a place we never do well at. And Paul, that was a game of attrition, I've got to say, and SE eventually comes out on top.
Well, we booked the trend. Having lost 6 out of 7 against Boston, we've registered another win. It's a very important win in many ways. We've led this game 3 times and we let it slip twice. The third time we took the lead, we managed to hang on to it. The prospects for the next few few games, obviously has improved. We badly needed a win after one win in seven. Boston, likewise, they had one win in seven, but at least won the upward curve again now with an away trip to Harrogate. We'll be a little bit more confident. Obviously, we've had a debutant goalie today who's had his moments, to say the least. But, you know, we've got to give credit to the players. Tom Greaves has broken his duck for the season. And Gilchrist, again, he's come off the bench today and he scored a killer goal.
Now, the highlight of the whole show, to be fair, the whole commentary today, was Paul's statement when we finally got the winning goal this afternoon. Paul said, a remarkable game of appalling mistakes. Now, as a defensive masterclass, this is not one you would have paid money for. But that makes games entertaining. And we've been saying for a while now, just entertain the supporters of FC United and the results will follow, we're sure. And today's been a classic example.
Well, if you look at the away games so far, the game at Chorley, again, was a lottery of mistakes. But great entertainment, six-goal thriller. We had a rather mundane evening at Salford City,
yeah,
where we never really looked like threatening.
Well, that was after the Lord's Mayor Parade, though, wasn't it, with the Stockport game?
And then we had a trip to Brackley again where we didn't score and we didn't look like scoring. So we've had two games away where we've been fairly sterile and two away games where it's been rather lively. And I'm sure the fans would rather have games like this.
Absolutely.
All right, we've conceded twice and we've been shaky at the back. But, you know, we all want to see action. We all want to see goals. We all want to see something to get on the edge of our seats about. That's what it's about, isn't it?
It is. Paul's not wrong there, dear listener. It is about entertainment, and Pilgrims TV exists on YouTube, so have a look for the highlights. I'm sure they'll be out at some point.
You'll have a good laugh at the defending, anyway.
Absolutely. We mentioned the danger people for Boston and who's had good games. Joe McGuire's had a good game for Boston. Liam Agnew's been superb. Rollins, Smith and St. Just have been excellent as well. From an FC perspective, where'd you start?
Chandler
has been very, very iffy the last few games. Today he's been excellent, we have to say.
At both ends,
particularly in the final third. Kay and Winter and Sheridan have been their normal true selves. Tom Greaves,
well, you know,
he's my man of the match. Yeah, not just for the goals.
No, I thought his work rate was terrific today, and you know, he harassed them when we were clearing the ball upfield. He was making it difficult for the centre backs. He was asking a question of them.
And the build up play involving Wolfe, Thompson, the three midfielders, and Greaves. The first goal, one touch passing, it was excellent. The second goal was just as good. The third goal, even though it was a fortuitous layoff, the build-up play and the layoff were superb from Guildford. All three have been tap-ins, but cracking goals, Paul.
There's been debate about what we do in training this week, whether we should
should
focus more on set pieces. But today, I thought our combination play, our link-up play, was much improved. Now, whether that's just coincidence or it's on the training pitch is an argument. But we did link up together as a unit better today.
Well, thank you, Paul. Thank you, Stato Paul, for joining me this afternoon. This has been FC Live, brought to you by constructedcoding.com and the Armchair Army. www.fcumradio.co.uk/donate for all your donation needs. LiveTeamStats.com, the place to go to relive all the stats. Look out for the highlights on Boston's YouTube channel. Thank you to Boston for the hospitality. We're going to miss York Street. It's a cracking ground, this one. But Boston have got to move forward, and we wish them well for the rest of the season. But this has been FC Live. We'll be back tomorrow for Women's Team Live. FC Live returns on Tuesday night for Harrogate Town away. But from everyone here, have a lovely evening. So, it's full-time, and we've come down to the social club here at York Street. And we're joined by Nick Culkin. Hi, Nick.
Hiya.
And Sam Rose, the physio. And I've just noticed that you're both very tall, actually, and I'm quite intimidated, so...
Don't feel intimidated. We're both gentle giants. I'm 6'2" and a right big softer.
So, that match there, not a defensive masterclass, being honest, but entertaining, and that's why people pay the money, I feel. Thoughts?
First and foremost, our fans were unbelievable. I think they announced over 500 travelled down, so a big thanks to them for coming down, because they completely helped the lads get the 3 points at the end of the day with a non-stop singing as always. So great, thank you to them. It was a fantastic performance by us, I've got to be honest. On the break, we were played some great stuff, looked very sharp, and we took our chances, to be honest with you. I can't remember, there weren't many chances in the game, but we took our chances, and at the end of the day, we scored more than them, so that gives us a 3 points.
And the pleasing thing to say as well is that the goals were all tap-ins for SC, but brilliantly well worked, especially the first one from Todd Greaves. It was all one touch football all the way along.
Well, the lads on Thursday night worked on crossing and finishing, and it's obviously paid off. So we put the preparation on Thursday night, and it's paid off for the lads to score three goals. The goals against, one was a penalty, which was a penalty, and the second one was offside for us, we're 2 yards offside. So
I think he was just in line, if I'm being honest.
Yeah, no, I disagree. So.
It was a cracking finish, though, to be fair. And that goes back to the goalkeeper as well, Misangu, who obviously made his debut today.
Yeah.
Couldn't do anything about the penalty. Couldn't really do much about that. It was a cracking finish from, what was his name, Rollins. Were you happy with the goalkeeping display as well? Because you've had him for a few days now.
Put yourself in his mindset. He's a young keeper, 18-year-old, just come on loan to a big non-league club. In FC United, so I don't think he realised how big it actually was until he started playing. That's what he said to me at half time. He was surprised about the standard of football and the pace of the game. I thought he was very positive. A couple of rash decisions maybe in the first half, coming out of his box, but I thought he played really well, and I thought congratulations to him.
What is your take on the afternoon, Sam, from a physio stroke fan's perspective?
I think after Monday, the lads were clearly sort of they were disheartened, they were frustrated, but they were really keen to put it right today, and you could see that right from the off. Everyone today, subs included, made a real contribution. You could see that with particularly when Nathan and Jay came on and Shaw and sealed the 3 points, and then Kieran came on, and he's only 18, and a couple of audacious bits of skill which have Harry Winter raving about how good they were in the changing rooms. So yeah, really really positive, and you could just see. Just how much the lads wanted to put Monday right, and really pleased for him. Particularly Tom Greaves has worked so hard over the past few games. Yeah, and he leads the line brilliantly, and it's just not been falling for him recently. So for him to get a couple today, almost got a hat trick apart from a great save from their keeper. So yeah, really pleased with that.
Now, we were talking pretty much with Stephen Wood. You might know him. He's some guy from Lee, right? Doesn't eat pies anymore, surprisingly. But we're talking about the next three games being pivotal this season, because it was tough. Never done well here, really, ever. Harrogate, well, we all know how that ended, and filed. So it was always going to be tricky. We set your target, Nick, of 4 points out of these next three games. You're nearly there now, yeah.
All right, yeah. So we've got targets.
Yeah, you've got targets.
All
yeah.
right, yeah. Listen, we go into, I know it's your cliche, but we go into every game wanting to win it. So, next three games, how many games left of the season? 35.
Just three till your next target post.
So, we've got another, it's a long season, let's be honest. And the next three games, I don't think are pivotal in the season.
Whoa. This is a radio. We've got to be generating excitement. Don't, right. I don't teach you how to catch a ball.
All right, I can teach you. You can come in on a Thursday night. It's all right. But, yeah, we go in and give our 100% every game, and whatever happens. We can't really go and set a little target, but we want to win every game, and we'll do our best to do that.
And you've got a message as well for an FC player currently recuperating at home as well. Just thought I'd get you on for the.
Oh, is that for Thomas Mythe? Yeah. I just felt that you were asking about him. He's working really hard. His attitude's brilliant, and we're looking forward to getting his rehab cracking and getting back in an FC shirt again.
Well, Sam, Nick, thanks for joining us
on
the podcast.
Well done.
Thank you.
Great
that
job.
Means a lot. Thank you. Cheers. So, Cal, thanks for joining us. We're on our way back now from sunny Lincolnshire. Decent afternoon, that, and good 3 points in the end.
Excellent. Thought the performance was probably the best of the season so far. Lads, obviously disappointing to concede two goals, but to score three away from home shows that we've got that scoring capability, and 3 points is fantastic.
And there are three cracking goals as well, all tap-ins, but to get to that point, some proper good one-touch football going on as well.
Yeah, that's something that we've kind of worked on. It's good that you see that them tap-ins, and then you think back to Thursday night, before we did the Q&A, and we worked on crossing and finishing, so being able to put that into effect shows that the hard work that the lads are putting on a training field has paid off. Shows that we kind of do think about what we do. We don't just turn up and have a game of football. There is a structure behind us, And it's a structure that's been improved on over the last 11 years.
And it was a good outing as well for Tom Greaves. He's, was it 85th goal now? 85 goals now. He worked hard for the team today.
As always, he works too hard sometimes. But it's great for any goal scorer as Greaves he is to, you know, to get on the score sheet. He'll do his confidence a world of good. And, you know, that's... It's great for him, but also great for the rest of the team because it supplied us with 3 points.
And obviously we had the trio in midfield again, and I said in commentary it's very reassuring to have them three in midfield, as it proved. Yeah. But I thought also a bit unsung for Chandler, left back. I think that was his best game of the season.
Yeah, I think all of them. Yeah, definitely Chris. You know, and it's like you say, the trio in midfield is very good. But I look on the bench, and you've got Nathan Lowe who can come on, Jason Gilchrist who can come on, Kieran Gwynn, three lads who touch the field, and that's without the likes of Harry Pratt, Jerome Wright who's injured. You know, so we're in a good place at the minute, and we need to make sure we keep encouraging the growth of some of the younger players, but also have an eye on making sure that the results stay positive.
Now, one area the pitch we've not covered yet is goalkeeper. What do you make of the debut?
I thought he was very assured. I thought he was excellent. I thought his distribution was really good. You know, and I think he was pleasantly surprised by our supporters and also by the standard. You know, coming from a background of professional football, sometimes you can get caught out a little bit if your mindset isn't right. But credit to Johnny today because his mindset was first class.
So Harrogate Town on Tuesday. That was like the Brackley game last week. I remember that away being really, really good last year.
Are you sure?
No.
No, it was it. Yeah, it was possibly another turning point. Then the turning point there was the players felt, you know, the reassurance that the supporters were behind them.
You were in that very chair when we did the post-match interview after last season's trip to Harrogate Town, and you said it might seem daft, but I'm infused by what's gone on in the dressing room tonight.
Exactly, because there was people stood sat there with stunned faces. You just lost 4-0, and they're getting sung off 5-0, was it?
5.
Well done. Cheers for that.
No worries.
And they, you know, they're getting a standing ovation, and it shows what United means. That unity, that thing that we've had always, and we've got to keep hold of because it's a massive bonus for players who are playing in it, and also supporters who are turning up because they gain an understanding of what this football club's about. And I know I said it on Thursday night, certainly not about any one person. It's about us as a collective going out there and doing our best, whether that be a supporter on the terrace singing his heart out or her heart out, and a player on the pitch who's striving hard to represent the club as best they can.
So you talk about Thursday's Q&A. And it was a lively affair, but from a radio perspective, running the radio, I like it when I get in the neck occasionally because it means I'm on my toes and I'm having to answer questions and think about it more. The Q&A was your baby. Are you pleased with you actually did it and you got quiz like that?
Yeah, let's get it out there. There's nobody hiding anything. I'm certainly not, the staff certainly not. All we do is work hard. We try our best day in, day out to provide, yes, good football on a Saturday, but also opportunities for people. You know, that's been shown even by some of the people who were mentioned who have now left the club. You know, they have the opportunities that FC United provided, and it's been that since day one. You know, we've always tried to help and tried to improve people. Like I said the other night, you know, the person I improve is myself. You know, I look to improve myself, and if I can inspire people to do that, then, you know, it's only going on an upward curve for success.
Thanks for joining us, Carl.
Can I ask a question about how do you feel today the kit was handled by comparison to how it's normally handled? Because I thought a marvellous job was done with it today. Do you agree with that?
In certain aspects of it, yes. Other than one of the kit men, not yourself, Alan, one of the kit men being colourblind, which has obviously resulted in him being a City fan as well, as you can tell by everyone's mood on the bus, and we're back to where we want to be, and that's winning football matches. with a great deal of unity, but also a humbleness and humility that will always exist.
FC Live there from Saturday afternoon. To hear now where that result leaves FC United in the league, and for all the other scores from a busy day of fixtures in the National League North, it's now time to hand back over to Marv Willers for this week's edition of Marv's Sports Report. Marv.
Thank you, Cockers, and welcome everybody to another edition of the future award-winning Marv Sports Report with me, Marv. And that vital 3 points for FC United on Saturday afternoon have lifted the Reds up the league to 12th position. 11 points up the table, though, are Salford City, who are now sitting top of the table after a comprehensive 4-1 Moor Lane win over Alfreton Town. Saturday's opponents for FC, AFC Fylde, are still unbeaten, but were held to a 2-2 draw at home by Gloucester City. Niall Cumming's 94th-minute spot kick denied Harrogate Town a 6th win of the season, as they were held to their own 2-2 draw by Curzon Ashton at the CNG Stadium. A goal from Jason Walker ended Tamworth's 100% home record and stretched Chorley's winning run to 3 games, 1-0 between those two, while Brackley Town maintained their decent start to the season with a 2-0 win at St James's Park over a Bradford Park Avenue side who were still searching for their first win of the season. And Liam King's first goal for FC Halifax Town? Well, that sealed a much-needed 2-1 win at the new Bucks Head against AFC Telford United. Altrincham are another side yet to find a victory in the season, and it's already cost them their manager. And on Saturday, a crowd of 2,355 saw them go down by 3-2 to neighbours Stockport County at Moss Lane. Tricky times. Nuneaton Town are finally off the mark and in emphatic style too, winning 4-0 at Boer Fold against now bottom club Stalybridge Celtic. Celtic have now appointed new joint bosses this week, Steve Holford and Paul Phillips, who agreed to manage former club Ashton United one last time in their FA Cup tie on Saturday before taking over at Stady Vegas this week. While Worcester City are another side yet to earn a win this season, but they did earn a good point against Gainsborough Trinity after an entertaining encounter at the Victoria Ground. And that concludes this week's Marv's Sports Report. With me, Marv, good night.
Thanks, Marv. FC United are back in action twice this week with two tough matches. Firstly, on Tuesday evening, FC are travelling the other side of the Pennines to take on Harrogate Town. The address for the ground is Weatherby Road, Harrogate, North Yorkshire, HD27SA. That's Weatherby Road, HD27SA. Kick-off on Tuesday night will be at 7:45pm. And then on Saturday, it's back to Broadhurst Park for FC as the club hosts AFC Fylde. Kick-off in North Manchester on Saturday will be at 3pm. Both matches are pay on the gate, but as always, if you cannot make these games, then have no fear, the FC Live team are here. They'll be going to air on Tuesday evening from 7:30pm and on Saturday afternoon from 2:30pm, right here on your very own FCUM radio. And just before we finish on the fixtures, if you're listening to this show on Sunday and Monday this week, why not head over to Broadhurst Park on Monday the 5th of September for the FA Youth Cup, as FC United host Curzon Ashton. Kickoff will be at 7:45pm. But if you cannot make it, FCUM Radio will of course be there on your behalf with the FC Live team going to air from 7:30pm. And that's almost it from me for this week's show, but before I go, just to advise you that This Club Is My Club now has a new sister broadcast, WT Extra, a podcast dedicated to the FC United of Manchester women's team. Look out for a new edition every Monday, with this week's debut episode centred on FC's first match of the season at home to Warrington Wolverines. In the meantime, though, you can hear this show on Monday and Tuesday this week at 7:30am, 12:30 and 7pm. The podcast can be downloaded via our website or from the iTunes store. And all the goals are held on audioboom.com/FCUM Radio. Thanks to everyone involved in FCUM Radio and the club as a whole. Thanks for listening. And from me, Cockers, see you next time.